Our gospel lesson today comes from John, the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 19. Later, Jesus himself appeared again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and this is how it happened. Simon, Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two other disciples were together. Simon Peter told them, I'm going fishing. And they said, we'll go with you. They set out in a boat, but throughout the night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize it was Jesus. And Jesus called to them, children, have you caught anything to eat? They answered him, no. And he said, cast your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find something. So they did. And there were so many fish they couldn't haul in the net. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he wrapped his coat around himself, for he was naked, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they weren't far from the shore, only about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you've caught. Simon Peter got up and pulled the net to shore. It was full of large fish, 153 of them. Yet the net hadn't torn, even with so many fish. Jesus said to them, come, have breakfast. None of the disciples could bring themselves to ask him, who are you? They knew he was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and the fish, and he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he had raised them from the dead. When they finished eating, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And Simon replied, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. Jesus asked a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Simon replied, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said to him, take care of my sheep. And he asked him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was sad that Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? He replied, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. I assure you that when you were younger, you tied your own belt and walked around wherever you wanted. When you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and another will tie your belt and lead you where you don't want to go. He said this to show the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And after saying this, Jesus said to Peter, follow me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, it's one of the saddest stories in the Bible. But like so many of the biblical narratives, we tend to rush past the more difficult parts of it in hopes of finally getting to what we assume is going to be a happy ever after ending, because everything should end happy ever after. But by doing so, by ignoring the backstory, well, we risk missing the very things that could help us the most in our own stories. You know, when our stories become marred with tragedies and disappointments and doubts and setbacks. That's where the disciples were in today's reading. They were confused. They were hurt. They were sad. And some of them may have even been just a little bit angry. Their entire world had just been turned upside down. Jesus had been crucified. They were certain that as the Messiah, he would lead them into the new kingdom. But now he was gone. Oh. That morning, though, the women had came and they told him that they had seen him, that he was alive. They were certain that he was more, that the women were more hysterical than reasonable. And so they kind of ignored what they were saying, but somewhere deep inside of them, they must have wished that somehow or the other it could be true, that Jesus really was alive. But everyone knows that dead people just don't get up and walk around. Unless, of course, that person happens to be Jesus. So imagine the disciples' surprise when that evening, after they had discounted what the women had said, Jesus suddenly appeared in their midst. At first, they were filled with disbelief, and they were more than just a little bit afraid. But then they finally realized what, or in this case, more importantly, who it was that was standing in front of them and what was happening. Jesus was with them. They didn't know how, and they didn't know why, but Jesus was with them. And in that moment, they were overcome with joy. They were certain that somehow or the other, things were going to pick up right where they left them off before the crucifixion, and they were going to move forward, and the kingdom was going to come, and everything was going to be wonderful. But friends, have you ever tried to go back? Have you ever tried to recreate something that once was? Maybe it was as simple as a vacation that you took as a child. I remember taking my own two daughters to Gettysburg to show them the big rocks that I remembered climbing on as a child. When we finally found the big rocks, they stood there and looked at them and said, "These are what you've talked about?" It doesn't work. And that's disappointing enough. But then again, maybe you're finding yourself trying to rescue a relationship that was once very important. But in attempting to rescue it, what you do is you try to be who you once were rather than who you've become. I mean, life changes us. Experiences change us. It doesn't work to go back, does it? You can't be who you were. You can only be who you are. We finally have to admit that what's past is past. And when we try to go back, it's not the same. That's where the disciples were again in this morning's gospel. Yes, Jesus was alive. He'd already appeared to them twice. But everything had changed. For some unknown reason, when he came and he stood among them, it wasn't the same. They couldn't touch him. He didn't stay. He was there and then he was gone. And they just wanted what was. They didn't understand anything that had happened, and they were afraid of what was going to happen. All they really wanted was for things to be like they were, and obviously Jesus was trying to tell them that was never going to happen. That they had to readjust their vision. But that's not what they wanted to hear. And so in place of taking everything that they had learned from Jesus and everything he was now trying to teach them, in place of moving forward and looking for a new way to be in ministry and to relate to each other, they did what we so often do. They decided to go back to what was familiar. Something, by the way, that didn't require Jesus in the middle of it. So they went back. Back to the place where it all first began. They went fishing. And as luck would have it, they fished all night and they caught nothing. If that wasn't frustrating enough, around daybreak, a man appeared on the shore and he stood there and he looked at him for a while and then he finally called out, "Hey guys, I see you're fishing. Have you caught anything? Why don't you try throwing your nets on the other side of the boat?" Now remember, they had just gone back to where it began. And if no one else in that group should have remembered, Peter should have. He had heard those words before. But you know, grief does a lot of things to us. Grief, anxiety, fear. They have the power to blind us to what's obvious. And so in place of stopping and reevaluating, in place of turning around and really looking at the person who was talking to them, the disciples, they picked up their nets and they threw them to the other side of the boat. Now that sounds like, yeah, it wasn't a hard thing to do, but those nets were heavy. They had weights in them. They were wet. Trying to take them from one side of the boat to the other, which would have only been a few feet, probably took them several minutes, if not longer. But they didn't question. They just did it. Like it was a personal, perfectly reasonable request. And yeah, when they did it, their nets were filled to overflowing with fish. As a matter of fact, the nets became so heavy that they were afraid that they were going to break. And it was then that the disciple Jesus loved realized who was on the shore. In the moment he cried out, "It's the Lord," everything began to change. When they finally arrived at where Jesus was standing, do you remember what happened? Their nets were overflowing. Jesus was standing there, and he had already prepared breakfast. Now, remember, Jesus had been with them for 3 years. He knew how they could eat. And he especially knew how they could eat when they had been busy doing labor. And so when it says that he fixed them breakfast, it wasn't just a matter of a few eggs and maybe a biscuit or two. He fixed breakfast. But what was the first thing he did when the disciples reached the shore? He invited them to give him some of their fish. Now, he didn't need what they had. But Jesus knew that they needed what he had. The disciples had given up. They had decided that the last 3 years were just a wash. And the best they could do was go back to what was. But what they needed was reassurance that in the midst of the confusion and the doubt and the grief and the broken dreams, they still had something to offer. They still had something to share. They still mattered. They mattered, and everything they had done mattered. But they were willing to just walk away from it all. And Jesus was saying, "No, you can't do that. You need to share. Even when it appears that it's not needed, you need to share. You see, he wanted them and us to understand that even in those moments when there's been too much, when everything that could go wrong has gone wrong, when we doubt our ability or even our desire to keep going, God's abundant grace is going to be there for us. We still matter. And because we matter, God is going to support us. God is going to love us. God is going to give us what we need, not just a little bit, but an abundance. Yeah, we may have to cast our nets in a different location. We may have to leave behind those things that once brought us joy and satisfaction and fulfillment. We may even have to experience a change of directions. But the important thing to remember is that even when one phase of our lives end, when there's upheaval and disappointment, when we wonder if there's anything of importance left for us to do, God is still there. And through God's grace, we will be given whatever we need to begin again. All we have to do is reach out our hands and take what he has to offer us. In a sermon she preached on this passage, the Reverend Amy Starr Redwine recalled when she was in seminary. When you're in seminary, that you normally have chapel services at least once or twice a week. And the one that tends to occur on Friday is one that's built around communion. This particular Friday, communion was going to be by intinction, just like we tend to do it. You break off the piece of bread, dip it in the cup. Everyone, they knew the routine. And she said that as she made her way down the aisle, she was kind of lost in her own thoughts. And when she got up to the front, one of the professors was serving communion. And she held out her hand like she always did and was amazed when he put a piece of bread in her hand bigger than she knew what to do with. There was no way she could get it into her mouth. She didn't have any pockets to stick it in. And so she looked at it, and she finally broke off a little piece of it, dipped it in the cup, and just enough that she could put it in her mouth. And she put it in her mouth and turned to walk back to the pew. And that's when she looked up, and everybody in that congregation was standing there with this big chunk of bread and perplexed looks, except for one person who accidentally dropped his on the floor so he didn't have to deal with it. They all stood there, wondering just what they were supposed to do. And finally, when everyone had been served, the professor said, "The bread and juice you have just received are a sign of God's grace. And God's grace is always, always more than we expect, deserve, or know what to do with." Friends, it is that grace, that overabundance of grace that will nourish our souls when we need it the most. It is that grace that will see us through even the toughest moments of our lives. It's that grace that will challenge us to try one more time when we think we're too tired to even get up. Who knows? Maybe, just maybe, when we reach out our hand and accept the grace, we will discover a new purpose or a new direction for our lives. Because you see, God's grace can do amazing things. Trust him. Give him what little you may have, and he will give you so much more in return. To God be the glory. And all God's children say, amen.